All right, welcome to the church's official prayer, the Divine Office Online. Thank you for coming to our podcast to pray with us. So I've been hinting that we're going to do something a little bit unusual, not unorthodox, but unusual this next year. So the church, in the general instruction on the Liturgy of the Hours, says that there are, quote, two cycles of biblical readings. The first is a one-year cycle and is incorporated into the Liturgy of the Hours. The second is a two-year cycle, like the cycle of readings at weekday masses in ordinary time, and is given for optional use in a supplement. So this is the optional lectionary I told you about yesterday. The two-year cycle of readings for the Liturgy of the Hours is so arranged that each year, nearly all the books of sacred scripture may be read, in addition to the longer and more difficult texts, only rarely suitable for use at Mass. So let's speak a little bit about that first. I said this next year, and tomorrow is next year in the Catholic Church. So in the Catholic Church, the way that we mark time, the way we sanctify time, the most important way, is not really so much the secular way and doing your taxes in January or something, but it's the cycle of the prayers and the sacrifices and the liturgies of the Lamb in heaven. So that's what the liturgical calendar actually is. It's sanctifying time and taking you up into the marking of time and events of the Paschal Mystery and the timing and events of the Heavenly Liturgy. So tomorrow is Catholic New Year's, basically. Tomorrow is Catholic New Year's, December 1st. And this is just kind of cool. You know, the Liturgy of the Hours document says, the New Testament as a whole is read each year, partly at Mass, partly in the Liturgy of the Hours, but a selection has been made of those parts of the Old Testament which are of greater importance for understanding the history of salvation and for deepening devotion. So there, that second part gives you it. The first part doesn't really, you know, the church was so into scripture, it made the readings longer after Vatican II. They used to be maybe 60-70% of how long the readings we've been reading are, but they made them longer because they wanted more scripture. And their goal was to get the New Testament read as a whole, partly at Mass and partly at the Liturgy of the Hours. But guess what? It never happened. We never read the whole New Testament every year. So doesn't that make you feel better about your unfinished classes and other goals? Even the church doesn't finish all of her goals sometimes. It makes you feel a little bit better, doesn't it? At least it does to me. So let's begin the invitatory for today. And this is our last day in ordinary time. Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will proclaim your praise. Let us listen to the voice of God. Let us enter into his rest would have been the invitatory. But we should have a special invitatory from the Common of Apostles, because our last day of ordinary time, our very last day of the year 2024, Year B in the liturgical calendar, falls on the feast of St. Andrew the Apostle. And that is such a big thing. The feast of the Apostles, such a big thing. The feasts are that they take up much of your attention. Let's put it that way. So another cool thing to know, in the Mass cycle, there are your A, your B, your C. And it's actually easy to remember because they go in the order of the canonical Gospels in your Bible. The canonical Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then the one that's not the Synoptic Gospel is John. But the first year, year A, is reading Matthew. The second year, year B, reads St. Mark's Gospel. And the third year, year C, what we're going into next, they try to read semi-continuously in little tiny chunks through the Gospel of Luke at Mass. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon earth, and all nations learn your saving help. For this invitatory psalm I picked, Psalm 67. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth. Come, let us worship the King, the Lord, the King of Apostles. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing till the ends of the earth revere him. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come, let us worship the Lord, the King of Apostles. And again, that was, it was our invitatory. Now we're going to go to the next little part of the office, which is the hymn. And we're going to see if we can find one. I always look under morning prayer and evening prayer, because those are the major hours. They often have something very specific on the saint day or the memorial of a saint. So I look for the hymn that is most specific. I like to do that. O Andrew, once a fisherman, then fisher of the souls of all, now catch and save us by your nets from storms that rage upon the world. Born Peter's brother in the flesh, and still his equal in your death, the children born of a single flock, stock, are heavenly brothers by a cross. O noble offspring, honored son, O crown of equal majesty, these loving fathers of the church are sons together of the cross. You found the way to Jesus first, an ardent witness to his life. Now be for us poor and wandering souls a guide upon the blessed way. You were your brother's glorious friend. Now help the churches to unite with greater zeal and clarity as one in Peter's pastoral care. O Andrew, dearly loved by Christ, now help us run, drawn by his love, that we may reach our heavenly home and glorify our God with joy. Amen. And the hymn for the office of readings was also very nice, but you see how it incorporates specific information. It usually incorporates some type of prayer to the saint or some type of, you know, their story. They're often these traditional stories passed on. But if we didn't have that, we would have had this hymn here, which maybe I'll show you at the end. And if you're using the paper version of I Bereavior, you're going to have to flip to the very beginning. If you're doing morning prayer, you'll have to flip all the way to the beginning to Psalms week 1. Otherwise, we can just get these from the Office of Readings from the Common of Apostles for the Office of Readings. And since this is a major feast, I've chosen to show you some of the special prayers by doing morning prayer, which has more of the special proper prayers in it. Two men followed the Lord from the beginning. One of these was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. And these here are considered to be the very specialist in the best and most premium psalms in the entire Psalter for some reason. That or they're the most celebratory. It's hard to figure out. O God, you are my God. For you I long. For you my soul is thirsting. This is Psalm 63 portion. My body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. Two men followed the Lord from the beginning. One of these was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. For your love is better than life. My lips will speak your praise. So I will bless you all my life. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. My mouth shall praise you with joy. Two men followed the Lord from the beginning. One of these was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. On my bed I remember you. On you I muse through the night. For you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings I rejoice. My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast. Two men followed the Lord from the beginning. One of these was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And I'll pray with you the optional psalm prayer, since these are considered the premium psalms. Father, creator of unfailing light, give that same light to those who call to you. May our lips praise you, our lives proclaim your goodness, our work give you honor, and our voices celebrate you forever. Antiphon 2. The Lord loved Andrew and cherished his friendship. Isn't that moving? I just love that. And we actually have a canticle. So canticles are when we pull places, we pull prayers from other places in the Bible other than the prayer book of the Psalms. And this one's taken from Daniel chapter 3. And the sentence introducing it is, "All you servants of the Lord, sing praise to him," Revelation 19:5. "Let all creatures praise the Lord," is the caption. "Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Angels of the Lord, bless the Lord. You heavens, bless the Lord. All you waters above the heavens, bless the Lord. All you hosts of the Lord, bless the Lord. Sun and moon, bless the Lord. Jesus and Mary, bless the Lord. Stars of heaven, bless the Lord. All the saints in heaven, bless the Lord." And we're going to continue. So I add a little bit of a vocal prayer just to clarify how we pray these things spiritually. So the point here is that Daniel is praying on behalf of, you know, praising God, blessing God on behalf of all creation, including unconscious, inanimate creation, marveling at the beauty of creation. It's kind of like St. Francis's prayer, Brother Moon, Sister Moon, you know, things like that, the poem about everything in creation, water and everything. So what we need to know is that we read these things as spiritual symbols. So yes, we can praise on behalf of sun and moon, but also remember, we can think of those as Jesus and Mary too, in the broader tradition of the church, which is why I just said that. You can think of the stars of heaven as all the saints in heaven. I'm not saying that's the only right way to think of it. And also, you know, now you know so much more about the infinity of the universe with our cosmetology that you can also think of everything like that when you look at the waters above the heavens and such and so forth. And let every shower and dew bless the Lord. All you winds, bless the Lord. Fire and heat, bless the Lord. Cold and chill, bless the Lord. Dew and rain, bless the Lord. Frost and chill, bless the Lord. Ice and snow, bless the Lord. Nights and days, bless the Lord. Light and darkness, bless the Lord. Lightnings and clouds, bless the Lord. Let the earth bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. The Lord loved Andrew and cherished his friendship. Mountains and hills, bless the Lord. Everything growing from the earth, bless the Lord. You springs, bless the Lord. Seas and rivers, bless the Lord. You dolphins and all water creatures, bless the Lord. All you birds of the air, bless the Lord. All you beasts, wild and tame, bless the Lord. You sons of men, bless the Lord. The Lord loved Andrew and cherished his friendship. O Israel, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. Priests of the Lord, bless the Lord. Servants of the Lord, bless the Lord. Spirits and souls of the just, bless the Lord. Holy men of humble heart, bless the Lord. Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, bless the Lord. Praise and exalt him above all forever. The Lord loved Andrew and cherished his friendship. Let us bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So you see, even the church does it. Even the church added, "Let us bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," to this canticle on Daniel, which should make you feel better and about how we're praying this scriptural prayer. Let us praise and exalt him above all forever. Blessed are you, Lord, in the firmament of heaven, praiseworthy and glorious and exalted above all forever. So again, and we don't need to say the glory to the Father because the blessing of the Trinity replaced that. The Lord loved Andrew and cherished his friendship. Antiphon 3, Andrew said to his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Let the people of Zion rejoice in their king. Alleluia. Psalm 149. Sing a new song to the Lord, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel rejoice in its maker. Let Zion's sons exalt in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music with timbrel and harp. Andrew said to his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the poor with salvation. Let the faithful rejoice in their glory, shout for joy, and take their rest. Let the praise of God be on their lips, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to deal out vengeance to the nations and punishment on all the peoples. Andrew said to his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. To bind their kings in chains, and their nobles in fetters of iron, to carry out the sentence preordained, this honor is for all his faithful. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. And I will read you the psalm prayer. Let Israel rejoice in you, Lord, and acknowledge you as Creator and Redeemer. We put our trust in your faithfulness and proclaim the wonderful truths of salvation. May your loving kindness embrace us now and forever. Now I interpret that, and again, you could interpret it several different ways. It's probably meant to be a little ambiguous. But I actually interpret this as a prayer for the conversion of Israel. Let Israel rejoice in you, Lord, and acknowledge you as both Creator and Redeemer. Just adding one little word is the way I often pray it. And Andrew said to his brother Simon, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. So that was Psalm 149. That was our last prayer. And instead of having the shorter reading, we're going to take the longer reading that we would have read today if we were doing the office of readings and if we didn't have the... So it's an itty-bitty part of the Bible. It's the shortest canonical title or book in the Bible. It's the letter of Jude. So these are the really last parts of the Bible to be written down. Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept safe for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Beloved, although I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I now feel a need to write to encourage you to contend for the faith that once for all was handed down to the holy ones. For there have been some infiltrators who long ago were destined or designated for this condemnation. Godless persons who pervert the grace of our God into licentiousness and who deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I wish to remind you, although you know all things, that the Lord who once saved a people from the land of Egypt later destroyed those who did not believe, and maybe another translation would be those who did not trust or were not faithful. The angels, too, who did not keep to their own domain, but deserted their proper dwelling. He has kept in eternal chains, in gloom, for the judgment of the great day. Like Sodom, Gomorrah, and the surrounding towns, which in the same manner as they indulged in sexual promiscuity and practiced unnatural vice, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Similarly, these dreamers nevertheless also defile the flesh, scorn lordship, and revile glorious beings. Yet the Archangel Michael, when he argued with the devil in a dispute over the body of Moses, did not venture to pronounce a reviling judgment upon him, but said, "May the Lord rebuke you." But these people revile what they do not understand, and are destroyed by what they know by nature, like irrational animals. Woe to them! They followed the way of Cain, abandoned themselves to Balaam's heir for the sake of gain, and perished in the rebellion of Korath. These are blemishes on your love feasts. As they carouse fearlessly and look after themselves, they are waterless clouds blown about by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead and uprooted. They are like wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shameless deeds, wandering stars for whom the gloom of darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, of the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied also about them when he said, quote, "Behold, the Lord has come with his countless holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict everyone for all the godless deeds that they committed and for all the harsh words godless sinners have uttered against him," unquote. These people are complainers, disgruntled ones who live by their desires. Their mouths utter bombast as they fawn over people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. For they told you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will live according to their godless desire. These are the ones who cause divisions. They live on the natural plane, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, and wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. On those who waver, have mercy. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. On others, have mercy. With fear, abhorring even the outer garment stained by the flesh. To the one who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you unblemished and exalted in the presence of his glory, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority from ages past, now, and for all ages to come. Amen. A reading, end of our reading of the Holy Bible from St. Jude. So I think you can see that St. Jude's part of the letter, or part of the Bible, even though it's short, is so interesting. Responsory prayer. Sober, just, and godly we live in this world, as we wait in blessed hope for the glorious coming of our mighty God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us be concerned with inspiring each other to love and to do good works, as we wait in blessed hope for the glorious coming of our mighty God and Savior, Jesus Christ. I just love this divine office. Just love this scriptural prayer. So I'm just going to mention a few things as we reflect on this briefly. You know that many people always talk about Vatican II, and Taylor Marshall even wrote this book called Infiltration of the Church, all about how the church has been infiltrated and destroyed ever since the people that started the Second Vatican Council. But in reality, history, I'm afraid, is a little bit more complicated than that. It's not as if everything was fine in the 1950s, and then everything was destroyed in the 1960s. And you can even see this in the very beginning, where he talks about infiltration of the church in the first century. You know, there are these people that are sneaking into the church, and you hopefully can see that there's a lot of common interest here between what we just read the last week in 2 Peter and this, written about the same time. So there's these different things going on, these false teachers, and they're compromising with the people around them, they're compromising with the culture around them, their blemishes on the Eucharist, maybe the Eucharistic love feasts, or the preaching and the gathering of the community, they're defiling the priestly offerings of the people, you know, so it's pretty bad stuff, that's infiltration going on there, so that's just one thing. Another thing, after we get done with all that scary preaching about sexual promiscuity and unnatural vice and greed, is, you know, just look at what he does. He talks about the body of Moses. Where does that story come from? Does anyone know where that story comes from? This is where it can be helpful to have a little historical critical commentary. So does anyone think that comes from the Old Testament, the story of the body of Moses? It doesn't come from the Old Testament. It comes from this apocryphal document that was popular in the first century. I think it's called the Revelation or the Testament of Moses or something like that. I can't quite remember. And the second one, he actually quotes, and he says that Enoch of the seventh generation from Adam prophesied. So that's more than just citing something from a hymnal. He says that Enoch prophesied about what's going on now. And he quotes this long, winding quote about how God's going to come in judgment and he's going to convict people for their blasphemies, their harsh words, and all that they've done. So again, this shows you the process of sacred tradition. It shows you the process of not being sola scriptura, So for Protestants that maybe think, okay, everything was based on the Old Testament, everything was just an illusion or a reflection on the Old Testament in light of Christ, it's not going like that at all. And even in, it's just so apparent in this. I mean, how could you not? It's like there's two of these citations there from the tradition of the church. So that's all I wanted to say. And we still do this today, you know. We don't give scriptural authority to the little document that we call the Proto-Evangelism of James, but we can still cite it. We can still cite it. And honestly, that's the most honest way of reading this text from the letter of Jude. I mean, he's not just citing a hymnal. He's not citing something like Amazing Grace. He's saying that this has real authority as part of the deposit. You know, he said prophesy, which means that the Holy Spirit prophesied through someone about something important related to a doctrine of the faith. So anyway, that was my short little reflection on that. Now we begin the glorious canticle of Zechariah. I bow before the cross made precious by Christ, my master. I embrace it as his disciple, is the prayer in the spirit of Andrew that we have here. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I bow before the cross made precious by Christ, my Master. I embrace it as his disciple. And we pray the intercessions. Beloved friends, we have inherited heaven along with the apostles. Let us voice our thanks to the Father for all his gifts. The company of apostles praises you, O Lord. Praise be to you, Lord, for the banquet of Christ's body and blood given us through the apostles, which refreshes us and gives us life. The company of apostles praises you, O Lord. Praise be to you, Lord, for the feast of your word prepared for us by the apostles, giving us light and joy. The company of apostles praises you, O Lord. Praise be to you, Lord, for your holy church, founded on the apostles, where we are gathered together into your community. The company of apostles praises you, O Lord. Praise be to you for the cleansing power of baptism and penance, which you have entrusted to your apostles, through which we are cleansed of our sins. The company of apostles praises you, O Lord, and thank God for whatever you have in mind to thank him for, and for your personal intentions will be the last intention. The company of apostles praises you, O Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Lord, in your kindness, hear our petitions. You called Andrew the apostle to preach the gospel and guide your church in faith. May he always be our friend in your presence, to help us with his prayers. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. So, you know, we're going to have Catholic New Year's Day tomorrow, as I like to call it, the first day of Advent, first Sunday of Advent. And then we have just this beautiful reading. I don't want you to miss it, from St. Augustine. Let us sing hallelujah here on earth, while we still live in anxiety, so that we may sing it one day in heaven in full security. Why do we now live in anxiety? Can you expect me not to be anxious when I read, is not man's life on earth a time of trial? Can you expect me not to feel anxious when the words still ring in my ears? Watch and pray that you will not be put to the test. Can you expect me not to feel anxious when there are so many temptations here below? That prayer itself reminds us of them. When we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Every day we make our petitions. Every day we sin. Do you want me to feel secure when I am daily asking pardon for my sins and requesting help in time of trial? Because of my past sins, I pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then because of the perils still before me, I immediately go on to add, lead us not into temptation. How can all be well with people who are crying out with me, deliver us from evil? And yet, brothers, while we are still in the midst of this evil, let us sing Alleluia to the good God who delivers us from evil. Even here amidst trials and temptations, let all men sing Alleluia. God is faithful, says Holy Scripture, and he will not allow you to be tried beyond your strength. So let us sing Alleluia, even here on earth. Man is still a debtor, but God is faithful. Scripture does not say that he will not allow you to be tried, but that he will not allow you to be tried beyond your strength. Whatever the trial, he will see you through it safely and enable you to endure. You have entered upon a time of trial, but you will come to no harm. God's help will bring you through it safely. You are like a piece of pottery shaped by instruction, fired by tribulation. When you are put into the oven, therefore keep your thoughts on the time when you will be taken out again. For God is faithful, and he will guard both your going in and your coming out. But in the next life, when this body of ours has become immortal and incorruptible, then all trials will be over. Your body is indeed dead. Why? Because of sin. Nevertheless, your spirit lives because you have been justified. Are we to leave our bodies behind then? By no means. Listen to the words of Holy Scripture. If the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells within you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your own mortal bodies. At present, your body receives its life from the soul, but then it will receive it from the spirit. Oh, the happiness of the heavenly Alleluia, sung in security, in fear of no adversity. We shall have no enemies in heaven. We shall never lose a friend. God's praises are sung both here and there, but here they are sung in anxiety, there in security. Here they are sung by those destined to die, there by those destined to live. Here they are sung in hope, there in hope's fulfillment. Here they are sung by wayfarers, there by those living in their own country. So then, my brothers, let us sing now, not in order to enjoy a life of leisure, but in order to lighten our labors. You should sing as wayfarers do. Sing, but continue your journey. Do not be lazy, but sing to make your journey more enjoyable. Sing, but keep going. What do I mean by keep going? Keep on making progress. This progress, however, must be in virtue, for there are some, the apostle warns, whose only progress is in vice. If you make progress, you will be continuing your journey, but be sure that your progress is in virtue. True faith and right living. Sing then, but keep going. Responsory prayer. Your streets of gold, Jerusalem, will sing with happy song. Throughout your length and beateth one great cry from the lips of all. Alleluia. You will shine in splendor like the sun. All men of earth will pay you homage. Throughout your length and beateth one great cry from the lips of all. Let us pray thee. So please, on this last day of November, ask for the Church's blessing of a plenary indulgence, and we'll say in Our Father, a Hail Mary, and Glory Be for the Pope's little intentions. And they're not that big of it. See, they're not that big of a deal. And then we're going to put that up to put you, let's see what they are. Let's see what they are. That's really the best way to look at them. We pray that all parents who mourn the loss of a son or daughter find support in their community and receive peace and consolation from the Holy Spirit. And who wouldn't want to intercede for that? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And you can insert things into the Hail Mary like that, spread the effective grace, or if you want to, too. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. All right, now, if you can, enjoy going to Mass. If not, or if you're not Catholic and you can't go to Holy Communion or something, make a prayer asking for God to give you the graces of Holy Communion, a spiritual communion through asking to participate in the Lord's sacramental sacrifice and meal. So then, you know, try to figure out and look up some of the other requirements for a full indulgence, but at least ask for a partial indulgence for one of your relatives or friends, because that's a blessing that the Church gives us, to be able to do that on behalf of the Church. And can't believe how long this got. Now, tomorrow will be shorter, I promise. Now, thank you for listening. Have a great feast of St. Andrew.